Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschacha De Satarine. Sun setting over the Jamuna. Very nice image. That way is west. We're on the east side of the river Jamuna. And the location is Brahmandagat. Actually, it's very far from Chittaharangat, where Mother Jasoda went after the Leela that took place here. I saw a video and then later heard the description, because the video there was just images. A Prabhupada, 1974, so it was kind of a rudimentary quality video of Srila Prabhupada sitting somewhere on the steps. Nice sunny day, but his health was very poor. It was in the Kartik season of 1974. Prabhupada wanted to take the devotees to the places of Krishna's pastimes. And one of those places was here. And he sat somewhere near where we are, described the Leela, and then explained that commonly pilgrims will take bath here in the Jamuna River to sanctify and purify themselves. We have an arrangement, somebody has some Jamuna water, so you can just, he'll sprinkle on your heads as you're going out to receive the same benefit. But Prabhupada's disciples were bathing in the Jamuna, like some of these pilgrims are, and he was experiencing, you could see visually, he was experiencing such happiness seeing them becoming purified in the river Jamuna. He just stood up and indicated he wanted to go in the Jamuna too. So he took off his kurta and put on his gamsha, removed his dhoti, and very animatedly went waist deep into the Jamuna, and then held his nose and dunked himself down, immersed himself in water, and came up drenched in Jamuna water. It was very nice to see. And the devotees were very happy. I mean, these 6-foot-plus Western disciples surrounding a 5-foot-3 Prabhupada. It was a nice, very nice video. But Prabhupada liked this place very much. And a significant pastime took place here. It's something that is very nice food for thought or meditation on Krishna and his divinity. The pastime itself, well, as you see on the altar, on the one side, beside the right side of the altar, the deity's left side, but our right side, is Balaram pointing and other cowherd boys pointing at Krishna. Of course, there used to be a full original art painting that's now taken away. They have just a little diagram. Krishna has eaten dirt. Mother Jasoda was hearing. And Balaram, Dauji himself, was saying, Krishna has eaten dirt. And so Mother Jasoda, her motherly concern, my son has eaten dirt. And she confronted Krishna, have you eaten dirt? And Krishna said, no, I haven't eaten dirt. They're lying. So she looked at the other cowherd boys. No, no, we're not lying. He's eaten dirt. So she went back to Krishna. I haven't eaten dirt. I don't know why they're saying this. It's just not true. I haven't eaten dirt. They're lying. So Mother Jasoda, using her reasoning faculty once again, she said, "Very well, let me look inside your mouth and see if you've eaten dirt." So Krishna opened his mouth. And when she looked inside Krishna's mouth, she saw the entire cosmic manifestation within inside Krishna's mouth. All the stars and the planets and the mountains and the rivers and the demigods, and essentially she saw the universal form. The same that Arjuna saw, the universal form of Krishna, that is the totality of everything throughout all of time and space in one place. But that was on a chariot in front of Arjuna. And Arjuna was so terrified, he pleaded with Krishna, "Please remove this ghastly form." But Mother Jasoda didn't have that opportunity, "Please remove this ghastly form." She's his mother, seeing the universal form inside Krishna's mouth. Not only she saw everything in Krishna's mouth, she saw herself looking inside Krishna's mouth within Krishna's mouth. And she thought, "Oh, I've become delirious. I better go to Chittaharangat and request Lord Shiva to take away this bewilderment from me." And she sought the help of brahmanas to remove this spell that was causing her to see delirious things. But one of the beautiful messages of this Leela is that even when Krishna shows his divinity, he shows his opulence, he shows his Aishwarya feature, the feature of the Lord of all creation, the residents of Vrindavan, including Mother Jasoda, have such affection for Krishna. In her case, parental affection for Krishna. She cannot see her divinity. She cannot see his divinity. As the expression goes, his madhurya, or his sweetness, eclipses his aishwarya, or his opulence. So, in Vaikuntha, Krishna is exhibiting the fullness of his opulence. And therefore, he's addressed as Bhagavan. He who possesses all bhagas, or opulences. But Krishna is also Bhagavan. He possesses all opulences. But in addition to his all opulent position, he has a feature of sweetness. And sweetness in Sanskrit is madhurya. It's not just the rasa of conjugal love, madhurya rasa, but madhurya meaning madhu. Very, very sweet. Those of you that know nectar devotion, there's 64 qualities of Krishna, four of which are exclusively exhibited by Krishna, not even Narayana in Vaikuntha exhibits. And one of those is this one, his wonderfully sweet pastimes, madhurya pastimes. And the madhurya pastimes flow from the particular kind of love that the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. Krishna reciprocates with their love and exhibits wonderful pastimes. So although he's showing his Aishwarya, his opulence, Mother Yasoda is so imbued with her intense affection as mother, she cannot see his divinity. Let's go one step outside of Vrindavan and we'll go to Mathura. Because you've heard me say this, and I'll say it a few more times while we're here together. The planet of Krishna is called Goloka Vrindavan, and it has four divisions or quadrants. And the most intimate of all is Braja. So Krishna performed his childhood pastimes in Braja, That's where we're visiting. Later we're also going to visit another one of those quadrants called Mathura. And in Mathura, the opulence of Krishna is there, as it is here, but the Madhurya is weaker. I'll give an example. The example is Krishna's killing of the wrestlers Chandura and Mushtika, and after Krishna and Balaram together killed Chandura and Mushtika, and then Chandura and Mushtika had three other brothers, and they were not as strong as Chandura and Mushtika, but they were also very, 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 very powerful. Powerful. And Krishna was only...
How old are you?
Nine.
How old are you? How old are you?
16.
I'm just kidding.
Krishna was 12 when he went to Mathura. 12-year-old. Any boy here 12 years old? Nobody. Come back in 2 years, you'll be 12 years old. 12 years old. And Kamsa, first it was the other three brothers were Sala, Toshala, and something. Kuta, Sala, and Toshala. And there was an intense wrestling match, and Krishna and Balaram smashed them. The description we find in Krishna book, or 10th canto Bhagavatam, is Krishna was looking out of the corner of his eye at Kamsa, who was seated way up on a throne. And the metaphor that's used is, as a lusty boy may look out of the corner of his eye at an attractive girl. Only Krishna wasn't lusting like that. He was wanting to finish Kamsa. Now, how powerful was Kamsa? I'll give you a little description from Garga Samhita that gives an indication of how powerful was Kamsa. Contemporary with Kamsa was the demon Jarasandha, very, 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 very powerful king. And one time, Jarasandha was on tour with his army with the purpose of gathering wild animals, collecting wild animals from the forest with his hand and bringing them back to his, whatever he, you know, kept, a zoo or something like, wild animals park or zoo. And in the course of his travels, he found a huge elephant which had the name or was given the name Kuvalyapida. The elephant was as big as 10 big, huge male elephants. And you've seen male elephants, they're really big. As big as 10 of them. Huge. And they put stakes in the ground in each of his four legs to keep him from going anywhere. But he was so powerful that he uprooted all four of the stakes and began running in a northerly direction. And as Kuvalyapida was running, he came to a place where Kamsa was. Kamsa was on a different tour. He was on a tour of conquering kings. And in came charging Kuvalyapida, an elephant as big as 10 elephants. Kamsa confronted Kuvalyapida, smashed him with his fists, punched him to the ground, picked him up by his trunk, and whirled him around and threw him miles in the air, and he came for a crash landing right in the camp of Jarasandha, Garga Samhita says. And Jarasandha thought, wow, whoever did that, that person is powerful. I want to find out who that was. And he found out that it was Kamsa. So he was so impressed with Kamsa's strength. He told Kamsa, I'm going to give you two gifts. One, you can keep Kuvalyapida. He was going to be part of my royal treasury, but he's yours. and my two daughters, I give them to you in marriage. Kamsa accepted both, the elephant and the two daughters. That same Kamsa, as powerful as Kamsa was, one punch of Krishna, and he was dead. How powerful was Krishna? And when Krishna killed Kamsa, the two wives of Kamsa went crying back to Jarasandha, "Oh, this 12-year-old boy killed our husband. Please take revenge." So Jarasandha took a vow to pacify his daughters. "I commit that I will destroy this person who has killed your husband." And thus, the enmity between Jarasandha and Krishna began. Kamsa was so powerful that when Krishna knocked him out, people thought maybe he just fell to the ground. Maybe he's not dead. So to demonstrate, to prove that Kamsa was dead, he grabbed him by the hair and started dragging him across the wrestling arena so everyone can see he's not just unconscious. Kamsa is dead. And showers of flowers came from the heavens as the demigods, they were celebrating. And all the residents that were tortured by the wicked Kamsa were so relieved that this small 12-year-old boy had killed him with one blow of his fist. Then Krishna and Balaram had never even seen Vasudeva and Devaki. That was the seventh child, because he was transferred from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. So, and Krishna they only saw for one evening, for a short time, an hour or 2 hours or whatever, in the prison house of Kamsa. And for 12 years, their parents had not seen them, and they had not seen their parents. Imagine, 12 years. So Krishna went to the prison house where Kamsa, where Vasudeva and Devaki were. And they stood in front of Vasudeva and Devaki. And Vasudeva and Devaki were in a mood of awe and reverence, because they recognized his divinity. This is the mood in Mathura, when seeing the prowess and the power and the opulence of Krishna, they see that. But there's also some sweetness. Krishna didn't want Vasudeva and Devaki simply to stare at them in awe and reverence. He wanted them to treat him with parental affection. So he covered them with his yogamaya potency. And immediately Mother Jasoda embraced Krishna, Vasudeva embraced Balaram like parents. So in Mathura, there's a mix of some opulence and some sweetness. And in Dwarka, there's less of the sweetness and more of the opulence. And that's in the Goloka realm. So the sweetest of all, or the most intimate of all, are the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, where prema is not weakened by the display of Krishna's opulence. Prema is so strong that it cannot be diminished, no matter what divinity features Krishna shows in Vrindavan. That's this Leela here at Brahmakund, Brahmandakund, Brahmandagat, where Krishna showed his divinity and Mother Jasoda was unable to see the divinity of Krishna. Even he directly showed it to her. In fact, so many times Krishna would show another feature of himself besides his divinity. One pastime that's described that took place in this very same area is where the cowherd boys, because regularly they would play together, one morning without expectation, they began to tease and taunt Krishna. So much so that Krishna began crying and crying and crying. They said to Krishna, Mother Yashoda is very fair complexion. And Nanda Maharaj is of fair complexion. We can understand that you were not the son of Nanda and Yashoda, but they found you in the hollow of a tree. And because Nanda Maharaj is very kind, he accepted you as his child, but you're not the son of Nanda and Yashoda. You're blackish in color. And Krishna cried and cried and cried. And he went running back to that same place where we were near the Damodar Leela, the palace of Nanda and Yashoda. And Krishna was crying and crying and crying. So Mother Yashoda tried to embrace Krishna, but he wouldn't look at her. So she came to this side, and he looked the other way. But he was crying and crying and crying and asked, Krishna, what happened? Why are you crying like this? And he wiped away his tears and in a trembling voice, just like little children will do, he started describing what the cowherd boys were saying to him. That I wasn't born from your womb. You're not my mother. Ananda is not my father.
Boo-hoo-hoo.
And Mother Yashoda said, who has said this? It was Subal and Madhu Mangal and Dauji too. He said it too. And she placed her hand on Krishna's forehead and said, I take a vow before you right now. You are my son. You were born from my womb. And I'll discipline those boys who are speaking this nonsense to you. Now please just accept me as your mother. And she began breastfeeding her small child, Krishna. So his pastimes, whether he's displaying his divinity or his displaying little mischievous pastimes like stealing butter, or his playing like he's a bewildered child that's abused by the taunting words of other little children. It's loving pastimes simply meant to increase the intense love and affection of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and all the residents here in Braja. Tomorrow, in the association of Dina Bandhu, we're going to hear more. Be ready for some wonderful stories of Krishna's childhood pastimes. One other pastime that's described in Krishna book, not exactly in this location, but also in Mahavan, is when Balaram and Krishna were very small, they went to the calf pasture, because cows and calves are commonly kept in a different place, and they playfully pulled the tail of the calf. And feeling the tail of the calf being pulled, the calf started running. And they held on very tightly to the tail of the calf, and they went for a calf ride all through the cow pasture. And some of the gopis were thinking, clapping their hands, saying, oh, this is so wonderful. And some other gopis were thinking, oh, they could get hurt, and they were in great anxiety. So according to the mood of the elder gopis, Krishna and Balaram were bringing happiness to them. Happiness in the concern of giving their care and protection. Happiness in enjoying Krishna's loving pastimes. So, conclusion. This is a transcendental place. This is a transcendental place where, as I said in the morning time, each place has very special potency or a particular shakti. In all of Krishna's holy names, we know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, from Shikshastakam, Nijasarva Shaktis, in each and every one of Krishna's names, all of his transcendental potencies can be found. Similarly, in these places and the pastimes performed in these places, there's enormous spiritual potency to be found. And how are we to benefit best? This is just a completion of what we said in the morning. And it will extend for all of what we're going to be experiencing while we're here in Vrindavan together. The way to enter Vrindavan is by opening your heart and receiving transcendental sound vibration within your heart. If you let it simply go into the mind, maybe it'll be stored over here in a memory file, and depending on how big your, how many gigabytes you have on your memory file, you remember more things, and some people remember less things. But this is not the purpose of coming to Vrindavan and hearing the pastimes of Krishna. Being in the Holy Dham and hearing the pastimes of Krishna in the Holy Dham, particularly hearing the pastimes in the very place where they happened, here in the Holy Dham, it's meant to move the heart, because we each have an eternal relationship with Krishna. And the different pastimes that Krishna performs, there's special potencies that can help move our hearts when we hear them in the proper way. I'm thinking of the many, many times I've narrated the Damodar Leela or the Brahmanda Leela or the different pastimes of Krishna in other places, but it's a very, very special opportunity to, as you've all come for that reason also, from faraway places to hear the pastimes of Krishna in the Holy Dham. So, as we proceed in the course of this yatra, keep your hearts open, keep your ears wide open, let that message touch your heart, move the heart, cleanse the heart, and awaken appreciation for the sweet and loving nature of Krishna, and the sweet and loving nature of Krishna's devotees in Braja, and how by their loving nature, Krishna can engage in intimacy with them, and then in turn, by our appreciation for them with us. In the same way that Lord Chaitanya wanted to give to all of us, awakening that very, very special love for Krishna as found here in Vrindavan. Worldly people can't understand these things. They think so many other things than these things that we're describing. And that's okay. For devotees, we want to awaken our dormant, loving propensity or attitude toward Krishna. And in the course of when we go back to the places that we came from, continue furthering that loving attraction for Krishna. Let these impressions be deep with, go deep within your heart. So, could you, Acharya Nishna, he's going to stand over there on the corner and provide you with some Jamuna water on your head so that we can get to our vehicles quickly and get back, and maybe we'll make it in time for Damodaras to come at the temple and see Krishna Balaram and take rest and see you again tomorrow morning at 5:45. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Krishna Balaram ki. Gaur Premanandi.